Chapter 17. Israel's Desert Journey. The Israelites traveled in the desert for 3 days. They had not been able to find water that was fit to drink, so they were suffering from thirst. The people complained to Moses and asked, "What are we going to drink?" Moses prayed earnestly to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, which he, Moses, threw into the water. And the water became fit, good, to drink. There, in the desert, the Lord gave the Israelites laws to live by. And there the Lord also tested them. The Lord said, "If you will obey me completely by doing what I consider right and by keeping my commands, I will not punish you with any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am the Lord, the one who heals you." Exodus 15, verse 24 to 26. The hearts of the Israelites seemed to be evil and full of unbelief. The people were not willing to accept the hard life in the desert. When the Israelites met difficulties, they thought each difficulty was impossible to overcome. Their trust in God failed. They could see nothing before them but death. In the desert, they all complained to Moses and Aaron and said to them, "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death." Exodus 16, verse 2, 3, TEV. The Israelites really did not suffer from hunger. They had all the food they needed. But they were worried about the future. They did not understand how they could live very long on the food they brought from Egypt. Their lack of trust in God made them imagine that during their long period of travel in the wilderness, their children would starve to death. The Lord permitted the Israelites' food supply to get low. The Lord also allowed the Israelites to have other difficulties so they would follow him again. God was the one who had been helping them, and he wanted them to believe in him. God was ready to help them. If the Israelites would call upon him in their need, he would give them signs of his love and never-ending care. But the Israelites trusted God only when they could see continual proof of his power. If the Israelites had a firm trust in God, they would have accepted cheerfully the difficulties and suffering. They would have remembered the wonderful way the Lord had delivered them from slavery. God promised that if they would obey his commandments, no disease would happen to them. God said, "I am the Lord, the one who heals you." Exodus 15, verse 26. For the Israelites to think that they and their children might die from hunger after God had made this promise was sinful unbelief. They had suffered greatly in Egypt by being forced to overwork. Their children had been killed. In answer to the Israelites' earnest prayers, God mercifully delivered them. He promised to be their God, to take them to himself as a people, and to lead them to a large and good land. But the Israelites were ready to faint every time they met a small problem on the way to that good land. They had suffered much in their work as slaves of the Egyptians. But now the Israelites could not bear to suffer in the service of God. Every time they had a problem, they became discouraged and doubted God. The Israelites complained about God's faithful servant, Moses. They blamed Moses for all their troubles. The people said they wished they had stayed in Egypt, where they had plenty of meat and could eat until they were full. A lesson for our day. Israel's unbelief and complaining is a lesson for God's people now living on earth. Many people today are amazed at the Israelites' unbelief. People today are surprised that the Israelites complained constantly, even though the Lord had given the Israelites proof of His love and care for them. People today feel the Israelites should have been so more thankful. But when God tests the faith of these people today, sometimes by little things, many of them have no more faith and patience than did the Israelites. Many people who have their present needs supplied do not trust God with the future. They do not believe, and they become sad when they think that their needs may not be supplied. Some people are afraid they will become poor and their children will suffer. People today have difficulties and problems that test their faith and their love for God. Then they complain at the way that God has chosen to help them improve their characters. They show that their love for God is not strong enough. The faith of God's people should be strong, active, and lasting. God's people should be sure of the things they hope for. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Then they will say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For He has been generous to me." Some people think they are suffering when they do not get everything they want. They do not deny self. They eat whatever they like. They do not care if the food is not good for their health. Many Christians who should say no to unhealthy food feel they would starve if they had to eat plain food. The same as the Israelites, they choose slavery, diseased bodies, and death rather than giving up unhealthy food. Bread and water is all that is promised to God's people in the time of trouble. The manna. When the dew evaporated, there was something thin and flaky on the surface of the desert. What they saw was as delicate as frost. When the Israelites saw it, they didn't know what it was and asked each other, "What is it?" Or, as the King James Version translates it, "It is manna." Moses said to them, "This is the food that the Lord has given you to eat. The Lord has commanded that each of you is to gather as much of it as he needs, 2 quarts for each member of his household." The Israelites gathered the food, some gathering more, others less. When they measured it, those who had gathered more did not have too much, and those who had gathered less did not have too little. Each had gathered just what he needed. Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of the manna for tomorrow." But some of them did not listen to Moses and saved part of it. The next morning, the manna was full of worms and smelled rotten, and Moses was angry with them. Every morning, each one gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, what was left on the ground melted. On the 6th day, they gathered twice as much food, 4 quarts for each person. Moses told all the leaders of the community, "The Lord has commanded that tomorrow is a holy day of rest, dedicated to Him. Bake today what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Whatever is left should be put aside and kept for tomorrow." As Moses had commanded, they kept what was left of the manna until the next day. It did not spoil nor get worms in it. Moses said, "Eat this today, because today is the Sabbath, a day of rest dedicated to the Lord, and you will not find any food outside the camp. You must gather food for 6 days, but on the 7th day, the day of rest, there will be none." Exodus 16, verse 14 to 26, TEV. The Lord expects us to keep the Sabbath as sacredly now as when He gave Israel the directions about the manna. God required the Israelites to bake and boil their food on the 6th day. The 6th day is the preparation day before the Sabbath rest. God showed His great care and love for His people by sending them bread from heaven. They ate food given to them by the angels. In giving the Israelites manna, God did 3 miracles. First, twice as much manna fell on the 6th day as on other days. Second, no manna fell on the 7th day, Third, the manna kept fresh on the Sabbath, but the manna would spoil if it was saved for any other day. God did these miracles each week to help the Israelites realize that the Sabbath is a holy day. The Israelites had been given plenty of food. Now they felt ashamed of their unbelief and complaining. They promised to trust the Lord to take care of them in the future. But they soon forgot their promise. Their faith failed when they met the next difficulty. Water from the rock. The Israelites traveled from the wilderness of Sin and camped in a place called Rephidim. In Rephidim, there was no water to drink. The people came to Moses demanding, "Give us water to drink." Moses answered, "Why are you complaining? Why are you putting the Lord to the test?" But the people were very thirsty and continued to complain to Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock, animals, with thirst?" Moses prayed earnestly to the Lord and said, "What can I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Take some of the leaders of Israel with you and go on ahead of the people. Take along the stick with which you struck the Nile. I will stand before you on a rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." Moses hit the rock in the presence of the leaders of Israel. The place was named Massah and Meribah because the Israelites complained and put the Lord to the test when they asked, "Is the Lord with us or not?" Exodus 17, verse 2 to 7. God led the Israelites to set up their camp where there was no water because he wanted to test them. God wanted to know if the Israelites would look to him in their trouble or if they would grumble and complain as they had done in the past. The Israelites should have remembered the wonderful way the Lord had delivered them. They should have trusted him when they had trouble. They should have known that God would not let them die from thirst. God had promised to care for the Israelites as his special people. But instead of humbly asking God to provide for their need, the Israelites blamed Moses for their trouble. They demanded that Moses get water for them. Again and again, God had shown his power in a wonderful way. God wanted the Israelites to understand that all the good things they received came from him. God could bless them with what they needed, or he could take away the blessing, according to his own will. Sometimes the Israelites understood that God gives and takes away, and humbled themselves before the Lord. But when they became thirsty or hungry, they blamed Moses for their trouble. They acted as though they had left Egypt just to please Moses. Moses was heartbroken when he heard the Israelites' cruel complaints. The people seemed ready to stone him, so he asked the Lord what he should do. The cloud of God's glory rested directly before the rock. The Lord told Moses to strike the rock with the rod God had given him. When Moses hit the rock, God split the rock open in the desert and gave them water from the depths. He caused a stream to come out of the rock and made water flow like a river. Psalm 78, verse 15-16. Moses struck the rock, but God stood by Moses and caused the water to flow from the solid rock. The Israelites had tempted God in their thirst and said, "If God brought us out here, why does he not give us water as well as bread?" By using the word "if," the Israelites showed they did not believe God. Moses was afraid God would punish the Israelites for their wicked complaining. Once more, the Lord had tested the faith of his people, and once again, they did not pass the test. The Israelites grumbled because they were thirsty, and they complained against Moses. God allowed the Israelites' enemies to make war on them because of their unbelief. God wanted to show his people that their strength came from him. Delivered in War. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Pick out some men to go and fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill holding the stick that God told me to carry." Joshua did as Moses commanded him and went out to fight the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his arms, the Israelites won. But when he put his arms down, the Amalekites began to win. When Moses' arms grew tired, Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on, while they stood beside him and held up his arms holding. Steady until the sun went down. Exodus 17, verse 8 to 12. Moses prayed with his hands lifted toward heaven, asking God for help. Moses held the rod that God had given him in his right hand. As long as Moses' hands were lifted up in prayer, the Israelites drove back the enemy. But when Moses let down his hands, the Israelites soon lost what they had gained. The Amalekites began to win. So Moses again held up his hands toward heaven, and the Israelites started winning. They drove back the Amalekites. Moses' reaching his hands toward God was to teach Israel that while they trusted God, He would fight for them. As long as the Israelites claimed God's strength and honored His name, He would give them victory over their enemies. But when the Israelites let go their hold upon God, their enemies would win against them. When the people trusted in their own power, they would become weaker than their enemies who did not know God. In this way, Joshua totally defeated the Amalekites. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write an account of this victory, so that the victory will be remembered. Tell Joshua that I will completely destroy the Amalekites." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Hold high the banner of the Lord. The Lord will continue to fight against the Amalekites forever." Exodus 17, verse 13 to 16. If the Israelites had not grumbled and complained against the Lord, He would not have allowed the Amalekites to make war against them. Jethro's visit. Before Moses led Israel out of Egypt, he sent his wife and children back to stay with his father-in-law, Jethro. Later, Jethro heard of Israel's wonderful deliverance from Egypt. Then Jethro visited Moses in the desert and brought Moses' wife and children to him. Moses went out to meet, bowed before him and kissed him, asked about each other's health, and then went into Moses' tent. Moses told Jethro everything that the Lord had done to the king and the people of Egypt. Also told about the hardships the people had on the way and how the Lord had saved them. When Jethro had heard all this, he was happy and said, "Praise the Lord, who saved you from the king and the people of Egypt. Praise the Lord, who saved his people from slavery. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, because He did this when the Egyptians treated the Israelites with such contempt." Then Jethro brought an offering to be burned whole, and other sacrifices to be offered to God. And Aaron and all the leaders of Israel went with him to eat the sacred meal as an act of worship. Exodus 18, verse 7 to 12. Jethro soon saw that Moses had too much work for one person. The people brought all their problems to Moses. Moses instructed them as to how the law of God and the various rules would help them settle their difficulties. Jethro said to Moses, "Now let me give you some good advice, and God will be with you. It is right for you to represent the people before God and bring their disputes to Him. You should teach them God's commands and explain to them how they should live and what they should do. But in addition, you should choose some capable men and appoint them as leaders of the people. Leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They must be God-fearing men who can be trusted and who cannot be bribed. Let them serve as judges for the people on a permanent basis. They can bring all the difficult cases, problems, to you, but they themselves can decide all the smaller disputes, problems. That will make it easier for you as they share your burden. If you do this, as God commands, you will not wear yourself out, and all these people can go home with their disputes, problems, settled. Moses took Jethro's advice and chose capable men from among all the Israelites. He appointed them as leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people on a permanent basis, bringing the difficult cases to Moses but deciding the smaller disputes themselves. Then Moses said goodbye to Jethro, and Jethro went back home. Exodus 18, verse 19 to 27. Moses was not too proud to receive instruction from his father-in-law. God had honored Moses and had done wonderful things by Moses' hand. But this did not lead Moses to feel that he himself needed no instruction. Moses gladly listened to the suggestions his father-in-law, Jethro, made, and adopted Jethro's wise plan.